This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Ramadan Reset with me, your host, Lauren Booth. This podcast series is sponsored by watan.org.uk, delivering services to Syrians in need.
Each individual needs to make that decision today, that they're going to make a change in their lives. And that's what Ramadan is all about. Ramadan is the forum for change. It's the forum for victory. It's the forum for receiving rahmah. It's the forum for receiving blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Yusuf Chambers is one of the most profound da'i in the West and one of the greatest fundraiser for the poor in the United Kingdom, mashallah. He fundraises for around the world, but he's from the United Kingdom. You'll know him. He presents on Peace TV, and he is the co-founder of the Islamic Education Research Academy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Yusuf.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Lauren, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I was trying to be stiff then because our families get on well, okay? Yeah. So that can make it seem a bit casual. And if you come halfway through a conversation with people, you know, brothers and sisters, and you're viewing us, you're like, what's going on between Yusuf and Lauren? They're a bit casual. In fact, somebody said the other day, I know you're married, which made us both like shudder with horror and laugh at the same time.
Yes, yes. No, I'm sure that... we all mean well. It's just a question of, as you say, familiarity and the sheer number of things that we've done together for the sake of Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So remember as well, when you watch these gatherings of sisters and brothers, that one, we're in different places, both in our own households, and you're watching. And so there is nothing wrong with being joyous, with sharing the love for the deen and having good conversation. So I just wanted to put that out there, really, because I know you. I put that out there basically because I know at some point Yusuf will make me laugh, raucously. I just know that it comes from a good place, inshallah. Yusuf, how are you? How are you today? I worry about you. I worry about you, my younger brother. I do.
No, alhamdulillah, everything is very good. Of course, we're struggling in this month to find the blessings all the time, constantly. And it's, you know, what is it? A day and a bit or left, you know, not really that much left of Ramadan. And so we strive for excellence in this month as well. We strive to find that amazing deed that will just turn it all for us. And maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe that is your last Ramadan. So there's no doubt that the companions used to spend all of their whole lives after receiving the verses from the Quran and understanding that Ramadan was the month when they were going to reconnect. They spent their whole lives observing Ramadan. It's quite interesting because it's 6 months before planning. And there's 6 months after living off the spirit of Ramadan. So planning, living, planning, living. So actually, Ramadan became the entire sort of basis where they founded their everyday activity on. Even though, of course, Ramadan's only 1 month. So that is very significant. And we're not like that. But at least within the month of 30 days, we should be absolutely exerting ourselves.
I would like to know, I would like you to share with everybody here, what is a day in the life of Yusuf Chambers during Ramadan? In the interest of, what efforts do you make? Perhaps you can inspire us with that and the people that you meet along the way. And then I'll share some stories about people I've met and what they do.
No, I think... during the day in the month of Ramadan is entirely different from outside Ramadan because the lockdown had changed things, you know, drastically, as you know. Before, we would have been traveling every day, you know, from different refugee camps and different studios doing recordings for films to encourage people to give, and so on and so forth, stations, etc. But during lockdown, it's been, you know, getting back to the Quran, right? So basically picking up on some of the lessons I should have done like 10 years ago, really trying to understand the words of the Quran, trying to be able to translate it myself and to recite it and translate it myself. And I was inspired by one brother who's a businessman. He's not really a da'i, but he loves the da'wah. And he's been a very amazing supporter of the da'wah over the last 10 years since I've known him, since we started Aera. And I heard the other day, after he did the course that you and I are doing, and I just want this as an inspiration for both of us as well, he was able to translate the Quran in its entirety twice.
What?
He was able to translate the Quran in its entirety twice by dedicating an hour and a half after Fajr. He could pray his Fajr, go for a walk in the park, in the back of his house. He'd come back into his house and he'd study the Quran for 1.5 hours every day religiously. Mm. And he was using this TPI, he was using the system we're using, Understand Quran, Quran Made Easy. And he's so proficient in it now, he can literally recognize the context of the word, the meaning of the word, the tense, is it, you know, past or present or future. And basically, he was able to translate it with no one else there.
Allahu Akbar. That's dedication.
Can you imagine that?
Dedication.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's... for me, that was such an inspiration, and that's why this month we're doing. Some days we're doing 3 courses, some days we're doing 4, and we were doing tafsir and the tafsir of the Quran with a sheikh in Bangladesh, and it's good, you know. And that's another thing that we need to start or stop doing, this idea that only the sheikhs only sit in certain parts of the world. They sit in every part of the world. They're mushayyak from every single globe, part of the globe. We need to recognize that we need to reach out to them and gain knowledge from them. And I was sitting with the sheikh, and he's such a lovely, beautiful sheikh online. And he was asking me to give the tafsir of it. And you know, this is their. They have no, you know, ego. You know, they have no ego. They've been studying for 20, 25 years with some of the greatest ulama. And to them, your opinion is just as valid. You know, obviously, it's not right. Our opinions are not right. But they might be, you know, adding something to that. You know, so during the day, I've been focusing on some tafsir. I've been learning myself with one particular brother, Tajweed. And then I've been doing these courses for Understand Quran 2-3 times a day, alhamdulillah. So that my life has been revolved around Quran and the understanding of the Quran in during this month, because the focus should be entirely on the Quran and the self-development, really. That's what it looks like. Then towards the end of the fast, we go out and we try to give some food out. But that's, you know, an obligation upon every limb in the body, every sinew of the body, that a Muslim should enact an act of charity, do an act of charity, a ma'oon, small kindnesses, to feed the orphan, to feed the poor, to look after the sick. So we've got a number of sick. Now they come to us. There's a number of people that know who we are and what we do. So we go out and we visit them, we visit their families, give
and
food.
And this is from this via the city retreat in Leicester, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So everything is the base. That's the basis of how we do it. But we don't do it in a way which is like advertising it, because I've actually realized one of the sheikhs, a very, very lovely sheikh, told us, Yusuf, I know your work is amazing, and I said, well, I don't think it's amazing. But he said, look, you need to do some of the work in a hidden way. Don't do it in a way so people attribute it to an organization or a group of people. There will be massive barakah in that work that you do, you know? So again, you know, all the time we're focusing on branding and appeals and t-shirts and hats and, you know, soon we'll have tattooed on our head which charity we're working for. It's getting that bad. But sometimes the barakah is not in that. The barakah is in doing it purely for the sake of Allah, with no branding. And you know, so we go into the hospitals. Again, this is just to purely show that it works. We go to the hospitals, and people, the nurses and the doctors are asking us, where are you from? Which organization? Now, come on, we need to write it down. I said, no, you don't need to write it down. It's already written down. It's written down by the Creator. And that's why we do it. And we don't say too much. We don't say that we're even Muslims, because they know we're Muslims anyway. And alhamdulillah, you know, it's just such a blessing that sort of comments that come out, the sort of interaction.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've been seeing in the hospitals then. What's the work going on there? Is it to help the care workers themselves, or is it?
Yeah. So we go into the ICU units. We go into the units where the intensive care units are housed, and we just look after the staff. So we go to the staff room, and we just ply them with hot food, hot meals, because actually they get doggy bags given to them. You know the old term doggy bags, which is like a bag of crisps and a little sandwich and a piece of fruit, right? And that's what they're supposed to be living off to save human lives. Well, so then we go with the big guns, with this biryani and hot food and really nice food. And we always try and vary it as well. And, you know, honestly, they actually love us now. And alhamdulillah, the barakah is in this. The barakah is in this.
When you think about organisations you can trust, it's based on making a real difference to the people that they're meant to serve. I support Watan UK because their programmes lift Syrians out of misery. They've just constructed two new villages for internally displaced people in Kafr Jalis, which is an Idlib sub-district. These new camps, they have schools, clinics, decent accommodation, real sanitation, and educational opportunities for internally displaced children and adults. You can support the continued running of these services right now by going to watan.org.uk. May Allah bless you.
For us to be able to offer some a lifeline support in these most difficult of times, brothers and sisters, is you don't know the blessing for they, you know, I mean, they will be feeling the blessing. You will be feeling the blessing when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you stopped a dhulam, you stopped an oppression, you stopped a major, you know, sin going on by a person who was in fighting for their lives, and you came in and you offered them a gift of a chance, a lifeline.
Give us your positive feedback. What have you learned from this condition change that Allah Ta'ala has given us? Because, you know, we are the ones, Yusuf, that we feel so strong in some ways, because look, we're in the West, or we're in a big city, and we feel so strong, and yet in other ways small things make us quake. You mean I'm not traveling on my holiday this summer? What? You mean I can't go to the cinema regularly? What?
No, we're not strong, and it shows that this is a test case for what is going to inevitably happen, because every great nation has its day. The Romans had their day, the Persians had theirs, the great Muslims had their days in Andalusia, in Baghdad, and we had a civilization that flourished for, you know, that has flourished, continued to flourish for 1400 years. But, you know, ultimately, all of the civilizations that came out of the glory of Islam, one by one, have fallen. Because why? Because people stop commanding the good and forbidding the evil. People stop doing things for the right reason. So all of us need to be aware of that. We need to establish zakah, pay to the poor, pay for the needy, the wayfarer. Particularly the Quran is always going on about yatim, the orphans. There are hundreds of orphans in these camps. Thousands of orphans, hundreds of thousands worldwide, millions and millions actually worldwide. Also the widows. There are so many, we just cannot count them anymore. In Iraq, it was said that the two wars created 5 million orphans. 5 million orphans. And that came from a friend that you and I know very well, from Help the Needy. And he's very, very, he knows what's going on in Iraq. So brothers and sisters, the reason why this is going on, because we have stopped commanding the good and forbidding the evil. We stopped the dawah. The moment we stop the dawah and we consider this life as being our objective, that the dunya as being an objective reality for us. It's not an objective reality. It's something we pass by and we utilize. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a zakah, He gives us the ability to pay zakah. Zakah comes from the term to purify. We all need to purify our wealth. Pay your zakah today. Why not? Pay it now. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you think of doing a good deed in the evening, don't wait for the morning to fulfill it. And he also said that the sadaqah will become your shield on the day of judgment, your shield, your protection. And the one who gives without fearing poverty in such a way, he gives it secretly, okay, that his right hand gives, his left hand doesn't know he's given, he will be accorded the shade on the day of judgment when there's no shade but the shade of Allah. You see, these are the indications of what we can do to get back. Command the good and forbid the evil means to call the people to Islam and to protect the people who are living as Muslims right now, particularly around the world, the orphans, the widows, the displaced people all around the world, and there are literally tens of millions of them. I don't know the exact figure according to the UN, but it's getting worse and worse, brothers and sisters.
You know what fascinates me is that at the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, when he and the early followers were forced into the desert by an oppressive regime, and how that people used to risk their lives to drop food off for them.
Yeah.
That there were secret deliveries, people running out of Mecca in the night, under cloaks, to take bread and rice and bits and pieces of survival, cooking things, warm clothes, under pain of certain torture and death. And, you know, for most of us now, just to cure an orphan's need is a click of a button. And so therefore, we are blessed, but we've also digressed because we've lost, you know, and Allah has even taken the ability from us to visit the yatim this year, which really disturbs me. We're not even being allowed to visit the people who need us.
No, that's right. It's actually, it's kind of like a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you can't even visit the people that you're going to be supporting. It's ajeeb. We just got one brother from Pakistan who's just given £100 for a food pack. I know that for a fact.
But
that's Tahir Khan Lodi. He knows me very well. He's in Pakistan a lot of the time. I don't know if he's there still right now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it on his mizan and allow him to have excuses in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he supported the orphan, he supported the wayfarer, the person in need, with his sadaqah, with his hard-earned provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in Hadith Qudsi to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, O son of Adam, spend on me and I will spend on you. So there's a playoff here. Give a goodly loan. You know, there's other statements, give a goodly loan. Meaning that you were loaned this money for a time, you have to give it back, you know? So my idea is that the way that we can feel better about our situation in the world, which is quite poor at the moment as an ummah, is for us to at least the minimum for us to give sadaqah. Give our zakah and our sadaqah and seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will correct our affairs when we change the condition of ourselves. See, Allah says, in one of the surahs in the Quran, I will not change the condition of a people until they change what is inside themselves. Infusuhum. In the understanding is internally the change needs to occur, and externally the actions will happen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the floodgates for this ummah to get back. That's what it is. Each individual needs to make that decision today, that they're going to make a change in their lives. And that's what Ramadan is all about. Ramadan is the forum for change. It's the forum for victory. It's the forum for receiving rahmah. It's the forum for receiving blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that decision, isn't it? That, hold on, dunya, we know it's rubbish.
Yeah, it's rubbish. We know it's rubbish. It's just rubbish.
Yeah.
It really is. It's you know, we treat it as if it's stardust. And it's just the crumbs of creation that Allah ta'ala has made glittery, that has made glitter and sparkle.
Yes.
Exciting for us,
yes.
So that we dive at it, but then we should realize when we get there, oh, you know, that gold nugget we thought is actually just a pebble on the beach, and throw it in the sea of good deeds. You know, throw it away.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean not being engaged. It means being very engaged. It means living an intentional life for the sake of Allah Ta'ala.
Yeah, that's it, and the intention needs to change. That is it. So it's the intention and the modus operandi. What do we base our life around? So usually before the lockdown, it's get to work, do 5 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is for most of us, work out what we're going to do later on for food, okay? And call the family, what do you need for food? Go home, eat. And then it's an anti-climax from there, because it's just like, oh, I've got to do it all again tomorrow. We don't need to have a life like that. Internally, we need to make that decision. We're going to change the modus operandi to being more right. What time is Salah? Yeah? Right. I've got 2 hours until Dhuhr Salah. Right. So I can do an hour of work. I can do an hour of reading Quran and dhikr and then do my salah. And then I've got 3 hours after that, and then I can pray Asr Salah. Plan your day around your salah and your Islam, your deen, and you will see the changes. This is what I started to do. Mm-hmm. I've started to do this, especially in the lockdown. I've started to plan my whole days around the deen of Islam, not plan my days around, right, I need to get as much money as I possibly can today. My potential for earning is 200, but if I really push myself, I can get 300 by making that call and that call and that call. No. You know what? The companions, upon them be peace. Many of them were super rich before they became Muslims, and then they became poor because they were oppressed. For years and years and years, they couldn't even move out of their houses, and they were being oppressed, and they were being chased, and so on and so forth. And then some of them recounted that we used to struggle to get a small amount of money in the morning so that we could go out and give da'wah, call the world to the deen of Islam in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then they recounted, and this hadith I read recounted that they remembered that time, because now they had thousands of dirham or thousands of whatever it was at the time. So truly speaking, is when we do make that turn and that change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make our lives incredible. The dunya will chase us. Right now, the dunya is running away from us because we're running towards it. We're running towards it, wanting it and desiring it. If you don't desire the dunya, the people will love you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Really. And you know what? I didn't choose to be in this role. Did you ever choose to be Lauren Booth, version two? You know, traveling the world. You know, giving nasiha to people. Even we are miskeen when it comes to Arabic, and really our knowledge is very, very low level. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose it because we chose it. Do you see that? Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what inside themselves. Then £100 for a food pack is just going to be nothing. It's just going to, you know what? It's going to be so insignificant. You're going to cry that you couldn't give more. You'll want to come back. And there's one of the things that we want to come back to this world. You know, that all of the things when you know, judgment is cast upon us, we're going to say, oh Allah, send me back so I can give sadaqah, so I can give my wealth in your way. You will be asking that. We will be asking that, brothers and sisters, you know.
Psychologically, what does giving do to us? It does change our condition inside. It literally changes the brain. And not getting reward for it is really, really important. And that is something that's spoken again over and over again in the Holy Quran, is don't ever bring up what you've done.
Yes.
Because then the khair will go. Now, there was a study done about 10 years ago by social scientists, and they looked at the behavior of children who were either rewarded or not rewarded for a good deed. And the way they did this was they got a five-year-old or a four-year-old in a room being filmed, and they put an adult there who was pretending to cry and a glass of water. And the child, when the person was going, the child would just automatically bring the water. No thought for themselves. They didn't have to explain it. These are very young children, all right? And they just reached and they went. And what would happen is one of the groups would get a sweet for doing that. So the person would say, oh, thank you, here's a sweet. And then they'd start crying again. And they found that the kids who were given sweets, after the first two sweets, stopped responding to the tears because they didn't want the sweet. The children, the ones who didn't get any dunya reward, kept giving and giving and giving.
Wow.
Allahu Akbar. They never stopped. No matter how many times the person cried, they'd always come, do you want water? So what does that tell us? You know, it's not about hoarding the wealth of this world or looking for something out of it. It is literally give, and the reward is with Allah. And I believe that that is with every cell in our bodies is replenished and touched by charity. When Allah Ta'ala tells us about having sins removed, what do sins cause? They cause heart issues. They cause lung issues. They cause a clogging. They cause this anger and angst that kills us. So literally, sadaqah gives health.
Yeah. Well, it does. And it removes the sins. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ said that, and the sins are what causes the illnesses and the sicknesses and the stress. When we're doing evil actions. And this month of Ramadan, we've lessened all of those sins. Of course, we haven't got the main perpetrator behind the whispering in the hearts, the waswas su fi sudur innas, this type of whispering, maligning the human being and their nature. We don't have that. So we don't have that excuse as well. This dunya is rotten and maggoty, really. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he was with the companions and he passed by a dead goat. And he said to the companions, he said, you see this goat? He said, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the dunya. Would you put that dead goat in your house, brothers and sisters? Would you give it 2 minutes? You'd struggle to get it out of the door and to cleanse yourself and cleanse your house of it. This dunya is just nothing. It's nothing at all. But we have given it a status, beyond its station.
Thanks, Yusuf, so much for joining us. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and your family and all the brothers and sisters listening to this around the world. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to visit watan.org.uk to support Syrians in need.